soul. Come and take me to the river and make me whole. It's down with the old and up with the new. The heart reset my life, take two. Oh Lord have mercy on this weary soul.
Welcome everyone to Go Yard with Mama Mac. Here we are live in the studio at Tan Talk and so excited as we begin this new show. It's our inaugural show actually for this one, Go Yard. So exciting. What does Go Yard mean? It means hitting a home run in baseball language. And I'm a big old baseball fan and have been since I was a little kid playing ball. And love it. And my kids and grandkids and everybody loves baseball. We are a family of baseball fanatics. So when I was trying to come up with a name to call this show, this new show, my oldest son in Indiana said, Mom, what's your passion besides God? And I said, well, what do you think? And he goes, baseball. So that's kind of how this all developed. And he actually came up with the name, Go Yard, which means hit a home run. This show is all about hitting a home run in life. And we are really going to talk about some really difficult, maybe intense, kind of fun subjects in a way. Fun because it will enhance your life and make your life better. This next hour is just going to be very informative. So if you're driving down the road, probably can't take notes. But if you're at home, you can pull out a piece of paper because we're going to have some things you might want to write down. Joining me, Mama Mac, on this show most every week will be our resident expert. Oh, wait a minute. Let me get my little bell here. It's always nice to have a resident expert, you know? The resident expert for this show is our own Dr. Angel Falzoni, and PhD, licensed mental health counselor, and a person who really understands dynamics in people's lives and the problems that we all get into. And before I bring Dr. Falzoni on here, I just want you all to realize that there are so many times in our lives where we feel like we're striking out. Okay, we feel like, you know, life has dealt us a bad blow. You know, maybe we're up to bat and we're 0-2. Some of you may not know what that means. That is zero balls, two strikes. And, you know, three strikes and you're out. So some of you today may be feeling like you're 0-2 in your life and you just really don't know how to get back on track. That's what this show is all about. It's about reality. It's about living life to the fullest, not being under our circumstances, but learning how to handle our daily problems in a more healthy, more constructive way. It's about learning how to take the challenges we all have in areas like anxiety, depression, domestic violence, which we're going to kick right off today and talk about, problems communicating at home with spouses, with kids. I'm called Mama Mac, and I will explain that to you right now. It's a good time to tell you about that because a year ago, my youngest son finally got married, and I say finally, it took him a while, but his dear wife, Candy, started calling me Mama Mac, and now my oldest son is getting married, and his fiance is calling me Mama Mac, so it kind of goes along since my name is Marcia McAllister, so McAllister kind of goes along there. So anyway, you can call me Mama Mac, and this is a call-in show. We welcome you to call in. The number is 727-441-3000, and you can call in with a question or a comment, and Dr. Falzoni will be able to answer some of those questions, or I can, or we can just kind of punt, you know, but that's football. So this is baseball. So we want to hit it out of the park. And today our goal is to give you some practical tools to help you live your life in a better way. To not be under your circumstances, as I said a few moments ago, but to instead, when you see that situation coming at you, hit it, but hit it out of the park and do it the right way. There's just so many things in the news these days. Welcome, Dr. Angel Falzone, our resident expert.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be here with you.
It's exciting. Yeah, it really is. We are going to hear from another friend of mine from time to time, Deborah Poor, who's also a licensed mental health counselor. That actually, she's been my counselor for years. You know, we all need counseling, right? And she'll probably weigh in sometimes on some shows. But you're really going to be our resident authority here. And with the degree, the PhD, and the license, and all of that. So that's kind of exciting to have you right here in this chair most Thursday nights with me live here in the studio. These shows will be podcast on the Tantalk website, and so you'll be able to hear them again, or you can refer to a friend and say, hey, go look at, catch last week's Go Yard show, you know? So anyway, Angel, Dr. Falzone, we're going to kick right off in this new show with a very difficult topic. And you and I decided that this was the topic to begin the show with because of the news. At every turn, we are hearing about domestic violence. And we're gonna talk about it today. And one of the things we're going to explain is that domestic violence is not just hitting someone, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. There's so much more to domestic violence than just that physical, aggressive behaviors. And there's a lot of warning signs that we can see before it ever gets to that point.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of good dynamics.
And
here,
we need to teach that on this hour. And that's why we suggested, if you have a notebook, you want to might write some of these ideas down. We all know someone that is a victim of domestic violence in one form or another. I know so many that it's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Do you? Oh, of course you do in your private practice, et cetera. You do. But, I mean, we all are in touch with people on a daily basis who live in abusive situations. In fact, you and I were talking about the definition of a bully because I think that in general, a person that perpetrates domestic violence on someone else is a bully.
Absolutely. It's bully behavior. It's intimidating.
Bully behavior. It's intimidating. Can you define bully for us, doctor?
Well, bullying is using intimidating behavior to coerce somebody to do what you want, to manipulate them. And so bullying is definitely at the heart of domestic violence.
It really is. Somebody who thinks they have a leg up on someone. Maybe they're a big, strong boxer, which brings me to Robin Givens.
Absolutely.
Who I called you this week and I said, oh my gosh, and you had seen it too. On the Today Show last week, actually, Robin Givens was on a segment on the Today Show and she was talking about, and the title right over her head was Why I Stayed. And she was married to the boxer Mike Tyson. She was a victim of domestic violence. And in this case, we're talking about physical abuse, but also when there's physical, there's emotional. Would you agree, doctor?
Oh, absolutely. The emotional usually starts way before the physical, psychological part.
Yes.
That kind of baits us into it and it gets us on the cycle of accepting this as that's okay.
Right. And this is a big problem. So many people that are the victims of domestic violence, and whether it's emotional, physical, financial, we're going to talk about that. Whatever the aspect is, it comes on kind of gradually, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes. You're definitely, the abuser grooms their victim to
right.
take this type of behavior and accept it as normal, acceptable. And sometimes people are victims, they don't even realize that's domestic violence that they're a part of. They're just in the web and they get entangled. And they feel trapped.
They feel trapped. How can they be groomed? I like that word you just said. You know, in other words, the victimizer, that's the person that's creating a victim, the bully, let's call him a bully, or her a bully. It can be a female. Believe me, I've known females that are bullies. But people like this, they have kind of a steady progression of intensity until it just gets more and more dangerous, really.
Absolutely. And the grooming process is how they set their victim up to accept their bully behaviors as okay. And it starts small, and then it gets to the next step and the next step. There's a myriad of ways that they groom their victim. And depending on the type of domestic violence is kind of how they are groomed to accept it. But it's definitely set up in the very beginnings of the relationship, which is why we're talking about warning signs, because there's really good pre-warning signs before it ever can escalate to that point. Doesn't mean it's going to, but it definitely is a flag for you to look at in your relationship.
And we're gonna talk about those warning signs in a few minutes, so grab a pen and paper, because you may need to hear this very information. I think it's interesting that most of these bullies, abusers, use intimidation as one of their big tactics. Do you want to explain what that word is, what it means, while I get a drink of water here?
Well, intimidation is where they are making you feel less than that they are. They are pulling a power. If it's a psychological or emotional, it can be physical intimidation, it can be financial intimidation. It's where they're keeping themselves above their victim.
Okay. And they're basically controlling.
Very controlling. Control is at the heart of any domestic violence.
Boy, that is a key. Wait a minute. I got to get my bell. Say that word again. Say that word. What is that word?
Control.
Absolutely. Control is at the heart of domestic violence. It really is. People that are controlling, generally speaking, don't feel very good about themselves. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely agree with that. A lot of the times the victimizers suffer from low self-esteem. They suffer from fear of being rejected. They suffer from unhealthy attachment styles. There's a lot of things that are going in their core.
Right.
So they put on their big, bad, incredible Hulk, might I say, look. And that's how they are trying to address their underlying fears and insecurities.
So they make themselves feel better about their own insecurities and fears by intimidating someone else. Generally speaking, it's somebody that's in a personal relationship with them, but it can also be a parent to a child. It can be friends at work. It can be colleagues, don't you think?
Absolutely. The core of domestic violence is power and control.
Okay.
And that can happen in any kind of relationship we have. It can be a friendship. It can be an intimate partnership, a boyfriend,
right,
a girlfriend, a husband, a wife, a
sister
to sister. It doesn't matter. It's a dyad relationship that where power and
say
control.
Say that word again. It's a what kind of relationship?
It's dyad. It's a relationship
dyad.
Between two people.
Two people.
Any two people.
Okay.
In which power and control can definitely take over. And once it starts running it, it's running the same course as domestic violence in some way.
And the fact that it is usually between two people, not like a group, is because usually if you take five people, you got somebody that's saying, wait a minute, this is out of line.
Well, that's just it. Part of the grooming process is isolating their victim and separating them from their group, from their support. Because we can't intimidate a big group, one against three, four, five. It doesn't really work
that way. Right. Isolation and... Should I use my bell again?
That's a good bell word.
I think it is. All right, here it is. Say it again.
Isolation.
Wow. That is, control is the first word, and we talked about intimidation. Isolation is key, if you ask me, Dr. Falzone, in relation to people being bullies. They try their best to keep their victim from listening to the voice of sanity that might be coming from a neighbor, a friend, or a parent, or a counselor, or a pastor, or whatever. They just don't want to hear anybody else telling them anything, right?
Well, there's strength in numbers. So when we can remove the numbers, we're giving more strength, or the ability to have more strength to the victimizer.
To the victimizer. We want to take a second here and remind you that this is a call-in show. And yes, this is the first show in this new series, Go Yard. And so some of you may think, what's this about? That's our first show here. So we're excited about it. So you can call in if you like with a question or a comment. And 727-441-3000 is the number if you want to do that. If you don't, that's fine, because we got so much to talk about. But we want to give the opportunity, don't we, Doctor, to our listening audience?
Oh, absolutely. That's what makes this so powerful, just hearing other people's stories.
Yes.
And knowing that you're not alone in it. Exactly. There's so many people out there. And the one thing we haven't talked about is that domestic violence crosses all the lines. It crosses culture. It crosses socioeconomic status.
Amen. It does.
It can be found anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah. It can. And you see it in the workplace, mm-hmm. even. You can just see it in so many different. But let's go back to the isolation thing, because that's a bell ringer here for us. Isolation, because I think a lot of people that are victims of a bully or someone who is working up towards even the physical domestic violence, it's kind of gradual. You said the word earlier, gradual, that they don't even realize that they're being isolated from their mom or from their sisters. Go ahead with that.
Not really. And that's kind of part of that grooming process. Because in the beginning, they may make you feel like you are so important to them. You're it. You are the thing in their life. You are their person, their go-to person.
Right.
And so they're kind of monopolizing your time. And it's not that they're saying you can't see this person in the beginning. It's that when we're not together, I feel lost without you and I need you.
Yeah.
And the victim is like, oh my gosh, not many people have people who just want them all the time. And that
right.
wanting to be wanted and loved is a core need of ours. So it kind of starts feeling that need. And then
feels kind of good at
it
first,
does,
doesn't
in the
it?
Beginning. Absolutely.
Yeah. And these people, in my experience, because I've been a victim, and you have too. And, I think that's important that we come from a perspective of not just having counseled a lot of people with this issue, but it's happened to us ourselves. And, you know, you're just slightly a little younger than me, so it's happened to me many more years ago. But it's so important to realize that as this isolation begins, it's so often not even really, you know, noticed that much by the victim.
No, because it's gradual.
Yeah.
It's gradual. What may go from contact here or there may become more and more intense or increasing. And when you're separated, it's going to be more texting or calling
right.
and needing you to be available. And it feels good on the other end. And that's kind of part of that grooming you for
right.
the abuse.
And then it can get to the point in a situation that I've dealt with recently where someone receives hundreds of texts in mm-hmm. one day from the bully.
Can get excessive and overwhelming.
I mean, you talk about excessive. I can't even imagine reading them all, let alone having to deal with the emotions that happen with each one of those texts.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually you're called names or you're told to get in line or whatever the case may be.
And that's much more down the domestic.
That's on down the road.
Pattern, yes.
That's on down the road. So let's go back to the beginning. We're talking about isolation. So let's say that one of our listeners is saying, well, what do you mean by that isolation? Give me an example of what somebody, a bully, might do.
Well, part of it, like I said, is monopolize your time. Make plans.
Monopolize your time.
Make a lot of plans for you guys to go do things all the time.
And never have time, or when it's time to go over to the in-laws, or it's time to go out with friends that you used to always hang out with. Oh, you don't want to do that, do you? I mean, just stay home with me. I mean, right? That
Absolutely.
Kind of stuff.
And in the beginning, they may want to include themselves with your other people.
Right.
And then they'll find something wrong with them, and gradually
oh, yes.
This person's bad for you because, and this person's bad for you because, and it's that isolating step by step. And there's a lot of manipulation in domestic violence.
Oh my heavens. Yes. Yes. You want to define that? Most people probably understand what that means, but from a counselor's perspective.
Well, manipulation, what I mean by that is when people control the circumstances to kind of control the outcome, where they're changing the circumstances so that they can get the outcome that they want, and you don't really realize what they're doing behind the scenes. You
right.
don't know that they might have texted your in-laws that all these terrible things, and then they initiated this argument that transpired, and now
right.
they've cut you off.
Right.
You don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but there's
that
a lot of
behind
the scenes.
That happened to me many years ago, so I understand that concept. And you don't, a lot of times, the bully is so good at this process that, you know, it's kind of undercover, and the victim doesn't really realize at first.
The victim thinks they're a hero in the beginning. They're like, you're saving me from these horrible people
yes.
in my world.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because the bully is all about making everybody around the victim be the bad guy.
Absolutely. And that's how we isolate.
Right. And suddenly everybody else, oh, you don't want to hang out with them. Look at that attitude. Or look at your mother. Your mother is always nibbing into our business. Or, you know, your sister is a pain in the butt. You know, I mean, all of that kind of stuff, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then they separate and then we start the isolation process. So
exactly.
A lot of manipulation in that process. But so that's part of those warning flags.
When you're in a
relationship and you're feeling like your time's getting monopolized, it's
right.
time to maybe set a limit or a boundary. You should have time for yourself. You should have time for your family, your kids,
exactly.
your friends.
Time to just sit and do what you want to do, you know, go to the beach. I love to hang out at the Causeway, and so I love to spend time there. And I would not be happy if somebody was saying, oh, you can't ever go there, you know, or, you know, do this instead. You know, I've got to have that time. It's wonderful time, you know, just rest, peace, you know, recovery.
Absolutely. You know, and healthy relationships have time together, time
right.
apart. We have time alone, time with others.
Right.
You know, iron sharpens irons. We need lots of relationships in our lives. And so that's a good sign that if the person can't let you have a friendship or is feeling very threatened by
right.
outside relationships, family relationships, whatever it is, that maybe we have more going on than we want to invest in.
Exactly. Warning sign. Boy. Absolutely big. Robin Givens the other day, and we're going to get back to these warning signs in just a minute, but Robin Givens the other day was talking about just the changes that took place in her after she was beat up the first time. She was frightened, she said. She was afraid to tell anybody. And one of the reasons, and I thought this was so interesting, is she didn't want anybody to think bad of the abuser.
That's part of the process. And it's
kind of
ironic.
I mean, come on. Isn't that kind of ironic? I mean, why not tell this is what is really going on at home? But instead, she was like, I don't want anybody to know. I don't want them to feel bad towards him. She's protecting him.
Mm-hmm. So then the abuser becomes the one that the abused feels like they have to protect. And
right.
there's that shame that the person who was abused
yes.
takes the coat of shame on. So they're wearing shame and they're feeling like they have to protect the person because they're manipulated into believing that this person really, really loves them.
Yes.
And if they did something different, this would not be the outcome. Self-blame comes into play.
You and I were talking about that sentence. I think it was yesterday when we met for lunch. And I wrote it down, and I want our listening audience to maybe comment on it or just write it down someplace. It is so common, the whole concept, if you could just, and then fill in the blank. Would you explain that concept, Dr. Falzone?
Well, and that's part of that grooming process, because the whole goal of it is for the person who's being abused to take on that coat of shame, and I'm the bad guy, and I'm the one who's hurting my friend, partner, loved one, whoever it is, and if I could just do it different. And they use the words, if you could clean the house better, if you could XYZ, whatever it is. And then after a while, you don't even need their words because you just say them for yourself. If I
exactly.
could.
So what happens, it's a brainwashing, if you will.
Yes.
It's a mindset. I like that word. I always have. A mindset that becomes a part of the victim.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they think, I just don't measure up. He hit me because, or he, you know, did all, whatever, let's say emotional abuse, whatever the case may be. He did this to me because I did this to
right.
cause it.
Well, not just that. It gets,
they take blame.
Absolutely, they take blame because that keeps feeding the domestic violence process. And they're taking this false illusion. The victim is taking this false illusion that I can control this. If I could just do this better, I can make this all go away. And they're taking the full responsibility for
right.
fixing this broken.
And it's not their problem.
Not
because they're the victim. But so often the victim becomes the victimizer, or the other way around.
Absolutely, yes. And so
the victimizer, the one causing the abuse, becomes the victim. That's what I meant to say. So explain that, because that's, you know, that's really what happens here. Well, they feel sorry for them, you know?
The abuser set them up to feel sorry for them. That's kind of part of the grooming process and the manipulation process, because it's your fault that I'm hitting you or I'm taking this
from
you. Yes,
it's your fault. If you would just behave, I wouldn't do this. I have seen through the years, and I'm sure you have, grown men. Okay, and let's talk about men, because we're going to talk about football right now. But even though this is a show about baseball, hitting home run, we're going to talk about football because that's current in the news right now. But I have seen grown men that are victimizers, the bullies. I have seen them and heard about them breaking down and crying like babies and getting in fetal positions. And, oh, you have caused me to hit you. You know, that kind of craziness.
They can turn on the faucet of tears.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's, and they're so... Now the person who's been the victim is feeling sorry for that person. I made them cry. I hurt them. I did this bad thing. I didn't wash the dishes well enough or whatever it is. And now they use lines like, I love you so much. Nobody could love you like me.
Yeah.
You don't understand.
Yeah.
And
that's really love there.
That's love.
Yeah, that's love, guy. Yeah. And in the news right now, seeing the video, Robin Givens said, seeing the video of Ray Rice punching unconscious his fiance, Janae, in that elevator. We've all seen it on the news over and over and over again. But she said, seeing the video of that brought reality one more time to how awful domestic violence, when we take it to that, when the people take it to that extent, and it can be very bad. I have seen people through my years of counseling, you know, just in the pastoral role, I've seen people come in with bruises, come in with finger marks on them, come in with a black eye. I ran into the door, they say.
Oh, they're always making up a great excuse an injury. And there's only so many times we can fall down the stairs or sunglasses on. And I've seen it in counseling sessions where women show up with their sunglasses on and underneath is a black eye. And
exactly. I had a man show up with sunglasses. This guy was like 70, so it wasn't something that he would have normally done. This is actually a relative. And the question was asked, why do you have the glasses on? Took the glasses off. He'd got hit with a frying pan that morning to the point that, I mean, it was disgusting. I mean, he could have lost his eyes.
Wow.
Okay, and that was from a woman who was the victimizer. And he did not fight her, didn't believe in fighting her. So he just took it, the frying pan, right across the eyes. I mean, I've seen that. Bad stuff. Dr. Falzone, warning signs, but before we go back to those, in this situation with the NFL right now, because it's current, and that's why you and I decide we're going to just start our Go Yard show with this topic, because it is relevant. It is what's happening right now. This morning on the Today Show, there were 5 football players with their names and their pictures thrown up on the screen. This is not just an isolated incident. This is a problem.
It is an epidemic.
It's an epidemic.
It's absolutely an epidemic.
Yeah.
And then, like I said earlier, it crosses all lines, gender, race, socioeconomic status, occupation.
It doesn't matter.
It can be anywhere.
It can. It can and it is, you know. And so now, it's too bad that these guys are losing their jobs, but I mean, really, it's almost like this topic has needed to have a front page, smack everybody in the face kind of encounter in order for anything to ever change in our culture. You want to comment on that?
You're right. And when it happens in football, in the NFL, people start to take notice when their favorite players are good players.
They can't play.
And so you're right. We take notice. We're standing up. But this is something that has been going on for a long time.
Exactly.
I remember way back when I first started college, I wrote one of my very first papers in domestic violence
in
the 1950s. And you wouldn't believe
this wasn't the 1950s when you wrote it, because you weren't even born then, girl.
But it was in the 1950s.
Domestic violence in the 1950s. That's the title.
And that was before there were laws. It was before anyone recognized it for what it was. And it was very acceptable in those days for a man to
just whack his wife.
And it was okay. And how much it was in common pieces of literature and writings. And so this is a problem.
It's a problem. It's a problem. And thank God that people are being now willing to talk about it. And even though the NFL commissioner is not saying a whole lot right this minute, but there will be a point when he was going to have to say something. But at least the teams are beginning to bow to the pressure of society and the media saying it's not okay for these guys. I mean, great big 300-pound football players or 250-pound smacking a 118-pound woman. Beyond my comprehension, I mean, it's crazy. But thank God it's coming to the front.
It needs to come to the front. It needs to have a voice, and it needs to be called what it is. And people need to be able to recognize it so that they can get help. The victims can get help. The victimizers can get help, because this is a process. It took a process to get you in. It takes a process to get you
out. So can they get help, doctor?
Oh, there's lots of help available. And yes, they can get help, but it is definitely not a problem you can solve without outside help.
Because it's a mindset.
It is.
It's a mindset that says, it's okay for me to treat you like this because you didn't do this, or you're not making me happy right now, or, you know, I want this and you're saying no, or whatever the case may be, right?
Yes, because they groom you. The way they groom you is that it is a mind, it's changing your mind, it's giving you new tapes in your head.
Yes.
And so to get out, you have to learn to rewrite those tapes so that you can recognize this is not healthy, not good, and wrong. If you don't get help, the chances of you walking into the same relationship with a different name and a different face will be very high.
I've heard for years that people who have been married to an alcoholic, especially an abusive alcoholic, they go back and they do it again. They find somebody, they got a different name, like you said, maybe cuter this time, you know.
Maybe a little younger.
Maybe a little younger, you know. But they still find the same thing over again if they have not changed those tapes. Explain tapes in someone's head, because somebody may be listening and going, I don't know what you're talking about. Where did I get tapes in my head?
You know? They're not tapes. They're the messages that people give us. And it writes, our mind's a great computer. So it records all these messages that people send you. And after a while, and you've heard these messages over and over, you don't need that person to give you the message anymore. Your brain just starts playing those messages when these events start to happen. And so you can start being your own victimizer in your head if you've been in the pattern long enough. And so walking physically away from this relationship, you still have tapes. You still have tapes with negative messages that will impact your life and your decisions and what you know. You're comfortable with this dynamics of these relationship attracted you. What attracted you? Because you need to figure that out, because it was probably something in the grooming process.
Right.
So if you're attracted
there, made you feel better about yourself.
Then you're
they're
going
charming.
To find it. They're very charming.
Very charming.
Very charming. Yes.
Having been a victim myself, let me tell you, they are extremely charming. And to the outside world or the family around or the work environment, whatever, if you tell them this person's abusing me, they think, no way, not him or not her. She couldn't be like that. She's not like that. She's fine. Or you're just misunderstanding. You know, what did you do to cause him to be upset?
And most people don't really see it on the outside until it's really gotten to a pretty high escalated level of degree of what's going on.
Robin Givens made the point. She was afraid she wouldn't be believed.
Oh, a lot of people don't want to believe, because they are such charmers and they come across as such sweet humanitarians a lot of times, volunteer hours. They belong to local churches and all kinds of activities that we would, you know, altruistic in nature.
Oh, absolutely. Usually. A couple days ago, Meredith Vieira actually came on. They did a clip from her show, but she has a new show and she's great. And they, on the Today Show, they did a clip of hers. And she had been, one of her early relationships was with somebody that she lived with. And it was interesting, because let's talk about this progression, because she said it started out with a twist her arm, wasn't it? And then a push, something like that.
I mean, before it didn't start with that twist of arm. It went way back to starting with the emotional and setting in the stage and the pattern. And then even the physical starts very. Sometimes it's a shove, a push, a grasp of the arm. And it starts very gradual, even in the physical.
Right.
Most of the times. Right. There are always exceptions to every rule.
Well, and you know, and just a word of caution to parents out there. I'm a parent and you are. We each have three kids and I've got grandkids and great-grandkids, which is pretty cool. But, you know, being a parent for a long time, I can honestly say that there are so many times that you think, wait a minute, my child is not behaving correctly. Or I know a situation where a parent has a bully for a teenage son who is physically hurting her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And my kids did not do that to me. But I'm saying there are instances out there, doctor, where a mother may be, or even a father or a grandmother, may be being bullied by their own precious little child who's now 15 or 20 or whatever.
And think about the shame that brings on.
Oh.
That parent feels.
They don't want to tell anybody.
It's so isolating in themselves because that makes them feel like I failed as a parent.
Yeah.
And how can this thing that I love beyond measure
do this
to me? I must be doing something to hurt.
Boy, that's a good point. The victim takes on guilt.
And responsibility.
And responsibility that is not theirs to take on.
Not at all.
But they feel like, I birthed this child, or I raised this grandchild, or, you know, whatever, and what did I do wrong? Well, let's talk about learned behavior for bullies.
Bullying can be a learned behavior. We learn and observe things all the time, and when we're young, a lot of times when we're young, we're very impressionable. And kids who've witnessed and seen this becomes something that they learn to do a lot of times themselves. They learn it as normal.
Sometimes they learn it from a dad who's a bully.
Could learn it from a dad, could learn it from a mom.
Right.
Could learn it from older siblings.
Absolutely. And, you know, with drug addiction, and that's something we are going to talk about on this show, Go Yard. We're going to talk about all kinds of things in the weeks ahead. We're not going to hesitate to talk about anything, actually. We're just going to be out there bold and blunt, because this is the kind of show we want to produce where people can get some real life answers to these kinds of situations. So often, doctor, correct me if I'm wrong, people don't talk about what's going on at home because of that embarrassment thing, because they don't want to be thinking that somebody feel bad about. You know, we brought that point up earlier, but it needs to come back again.
Oh, yeah. There can be a lot of shame, especially when people have higher socioeconomic status or higher education or status in some organization or club. And then we have these secrets going on behind closed doors, and we could never let anybody see those because they may make us less than.
Exactly. So the truth doesn't come out, and we just hide.
We cover it.
We cover it, and as a result, the bully doesn't ever get the help they really need.
And so nobody's getting help, and behind the scenes, it's growing.
Right, exactly.
It's growing.
Let's go back to warning signs.
Warning signs.
Let's go. get a pen and a paper, and let's write them down.
One big warning sign is relationships that grow too fast.
Okay.
Too quickly.
What do you mean by that?
They get too intimate too quickly.
Okay.
People sharing too many intimate details of themselves too quickly. Relationships, we have to learn to trust somebody in a relationship.
Exactly.
Usually, in a healthy.
Right.
And so the more...
In other words, don't give them your debit card right away.
Yeah,
right.
You're not meeting somebody. How you do? Here's access to my bank account. But emotionally, people do that.
People do it emotionally. They may not do it physically, but they do it
emotionally. But they do that emotionally. Yeah. And so sometimes the person's feeling like, oh my gosh, they trust me to this level, and I must be something special.
Right.
And it's really a grooming process.
It is. Okay, that's a good point.
So anytime we have a relationship that is growing too fast, too intimately, too fast, that is a huge red flag that maybe
something
unhealthy is happening here.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the words of the great Maya Angelou, when she said, people show you who they are, believe them. Because they do.
Isn't that true? I've heard her say that. I just heard she passed away.
She did just pass away.
Yeah,
and,
but what a great, she had a lot of wisdom.
And people do.
Say that again.
When people show you who they are, believe them.
Believe them.
Because
when they show you.
If you look, you'll see it.
Yeah, you'll see it.
But you have to look. No rose-colored glasses. We have to really look at things. I'm not talking about being paranoid every time you meet somebody, but let's just be aware.
Be aware. Warning signs. Okay, when they show you who they are, believe them.
Believe them.
All right, what's the next one?
Relationships in which one person always wants to be with you, monopolize you.
Right.
We already talked about that one. That's right. A big warning sign because that's part of the isolation process.
Yes, yes.
Relationships that make you feel guilty for having other relationships.
Oh, absolutely.
And they can twist it and turn it, and it's their abandonment. You're abandoning them when you're with your mother or your brother or your sister, and we need relationships. Feeling smothered goes along with that.
Yeah.
When you feel smothered, it's probably because you are smothered.
You are smothered. And, you know, when people, bullies, in my experience in the past, when they, well, if you're on the phone with a girlfriend or a friend, you know, and you're talking, and they won't leave you alone. They're right there at your elbow, you know. Hurry up. When are you going to be done? When are you going to be done? You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. And that's kind of that next
I've had that happen.
Process is violating our personal space.
Yeah.
Relationships that are violating our personal space, looking on our phone, looking over our shoulder while we're sending text messages, showing up places they weren't invited. They just happened to show up at the same restaurant you were having lunch with your mom.
Right.
Bullying their way in.
Barging in the parking lot.
Showing up randomly.
Right.
Checking on you, and they act like that's so caring. Oh, I want to make sure you're safe. I want to make sure you weren't in an accident. I haven't heard from you in an hour. I didn't know if something bad happened. And that grooms them.
Bullies, they have to have constant contact, don't they? That's been my personal experience, and it's been my experience listening to people for years, that it's that constant, but where are you? Where are you? What are you doing? You know, but yet, they certainly don't want to tell you where they are.
But the manipulation is that they make you think they're doing it for your benefit, when in turn, it's about their power and control.
Absolutely. Boy, that's good. That's good.
And that's that tape playing. That's how they're writing those tapes. And so that's a big warning sign. If you're feeling like they're showing up when they don't need to be there, if they're violating your personal space or not respecting that, that's a flag. Making statements like they love to be with you, or you're their hero to them, or no one's ever loved them like you. They put you on a pedestal a lot of the times, or make you think that's what they're doing.
Yeah, and you feel really good about it. So
you do.
Just cave into all that attention.
And when we feel good about a relationship, we want to do what? Spend more time.
Spend more time with that abuser, yes.
And then there starts the isolation. So very manipulative.
Yes.
Wanting to stay in constant contact when you aren't together. That's where the emailing, the Facebooking, the text messages, the phone calls. This electronic age is great and not so great in some ways.
Yeah.
And so they want to use those
Can't
means.
Get away from
no.
them. You know, and they don't want you to. They want you to be thinking about them all the time and wondering how they're doing and if they're okay. Yeah.
Or making you think that they're caring about you so much and making sure you're
yeah,
safe
that's right.
and you're happy and you don't need anything.
Right.
And the use of manipulation, anytime you feel like you're being manipulated in a relationship, you probably are being manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something unhealthy, a lot unhealthy with manipulation. It may not be domestic violence issues. It may not be power and control, but there's something that's a big red flag for it.
So it's domestic violence is not just hitting someone or twisting their arm or throwing them down the stairs. It's much more than that, isn't it? We made the point earlier in the show, it can start out with emotional control. Talk to me about financial abuse, because I have seen this through the years. Again, it happened to me. It happens to a lot of people.
Yes, and financial, you know, and this is it. The financial, the economic abuse is one of those that gets hidden because I don't have marks on my arms. I don't have bruises. I don't have black eyes. But what I do have is a partner who doesn't want me to get a job and who's keeping me from getting a job.
Yes, okay.
They're sabotaging me from any kind of financial independence.
Right.
Making me ask for money.
Right.
Making me ask to go buy groceries or
can
simple
I have $5
everyday.
To go get a bottle of milk? Yeah. Exactly.
If we're having to ask for money, that's giving them power and control over us. You know, it's good to be on a budget and be financially aware and fiscal, but as partners, we need to be with each other to the point where one is not elevated above the other. And it's not a parent-child relationship. It is, you know, as an equal partnership.
I've heard people through the years say, well, I'm not even on the checking account. Really?
It happens all the time.
Really, dummy? Why aren't you on the checking account? Why are you putting up with that? Or they'll say, I don't have a password to get into our bank account to have any idea how much there is. Really? You have an allowance? Are you 10? What is the situation? Yes, talk to me about that. That is a frustration for me when I've heard it from people.
Because you're seeing it from healthy eyes. And yeah. So they've been groomed. This right. didn't just happen, hello, I want to meet you, let me have all your money. It was right. part of the grooming. That's yeah. what they groomed them for. And they're making you think that they're doing it to help you. I'm helping us save for retirement.
Oh,
we
yes.
want to have this boat. We want to go on these vacations.
Right.
This is for our benefit.
How about the person, the spouse who says, who calls or texts the minute that you've gone into Walgreens and you've bought a few little items, and because I've heard of this.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I've had clients that have
I
this.
Have too. And I've had people that say, I've gone into Walgreens and I got a text 10 minutes later going, what did you buy at Walgreens? Because they're watching. Maybe they've got it up at, you know, a screen up at work with the bank account. You know what I'm saying?
Or their smartphones. Now we have apps for everything. So you can see your
that's
bank
true.
Account almost instantly.
That's true.
And they
yeah,
do. And that's part of the economic abuse. They're
right.
making you answer to them.
Right.
That's giving them more power than it's giving you. Taking your money. I mean, that happens, you know. Having your paychecks go into a bank account that you don't have access to.
Yeah, really?
And not getting.
And it doesn't even make sense that anybody would agree to that, but you're saying that people do agree to this
they
stuff.
They agree to it, and they think it's to help them.
Right.
Because it started in the grooming process.
Right.
It absolutely started
And
in the
after all,
process.
He knows better on how to invest
or
money,
she.
Or she. She knows better how to pay bills. I forget to pay bills, things like that.
Yeah, and just not giving the other person access to finances.
Right.
And when we're in relationships and we're in a married or a long-term standing relationship, we need to have access to our
oh,
money
yeah.
as adults.
Yeah.
We're not children, and we can't, when we're feeling like we're being treated as a child in a intimate relationship,
right.
then that's huge flag. Something really, really
yeah.
big is going on under the scenes.
Yeah. You shouldn't be an adult and be getting an allowance.
No, and that's actually one of the parts of that's in the descriptors of economic abuse is adults who give the other one an allowance.
An allowance.
Now.
You get it. All right. You get $30 this week. Don't spend it all in one place, honey. You know?
But I think at the core of all of it is the emotional, psychological.
Yes.
Because that is the where the grooming starts. That's where they set you up to be able to handle whatever degree that you're going to get.
Right.
And that's where the tapes are written. And that's where they're putting you down or calling you names, making you feel bad about yourself. You're not as good as them, or you can't do this as well, or you're less than.
Right.
Or you need them to make you
right.
be better. They're playing mind games with you.
Mind games.
And they use this love, withdraw love from you.
Oh, when push
you
me, pull me. That's
push
a nice
me,
game. I've heard that for
That's
years.
That's very common.
Do you want to explain push me, pull me? Because some people may not know what that game is all about.
Push me, pull me. It's a doozy game. That's the mind game where they're letting you know that I'm going to pull you close when you do what I need you to do. And when you don't, I'm withdrawing my love from you.
Yes, I'm going to be mad at you. I'm not going to speak
to
you.
I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going to ignore you, or I'm not going to give to you. And
I've heard people come in and say, well, she or he hasn't talked to me for 3 days. Really? And you allowed that?
And that's part of the emotional, psychological
right.
setup cycle.
Yes. Right.
It's making the victim almost feel like it's their fault. They almost feel like they're going crazy at times. Like, I'm nuts. I have to be nuts. Like,
right.
they're feeling like it's my fault. I have these problems. If I could just get this together, this
right.
would be over. And they do. And that's probably the most common complaint from a victim I
right.
hear in the aftermath.
Right.
Because that's usually when I get people in my office. It's the aftermath.
And after they've been living like this for a long time.
The most common comment is, I felt like I was going crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And eventually, or a lot of times I've heard, the victimizer is going to tell them, you're crazy. There's something wrong with you.
They write those tapes.
Oh, my. And over and over again. Why can't you handle life? What's wrong with you? Why are you upset? You don't have any reason to be upset. You're crazy. There's something wrong with
you're
you.
Broken.
You're crazy. You're broken. You need help. But then when the person says, well, okay, I'm going to go get counseling. Let's go get counseling. They don't want to go to counseling.
Oh, no.
No way.
Because that would ruin
counseling.
The isolation.
Oh, yeah.
Isolation is key to continuing the feed. And then after it's been really established, they can let people go have relationships again, because the people are the victim's telling himself or herself the very messages. So it doesn't matter what other people are saying.
Right.
They keep hearing this negative. You're broken. You know, you're worthless. You can't do this without this other person. You'll never be anything. You'll never have anything.
Right. Wow. This is huge. We got so much to talk about. You and I have pages that we want to talk about. And Go Yard is all about hitting a home run in life. And instead of just striking out every time a situation comes up in life, it's learning how to, with a good eye. This is the one thing about baseball. I know you're not as big in baseball as I am, but the batters that like Evan Longoria, for instance, he's got such a good eye. And he's watching that coming at him, sees where it's coming, how high off the ground, sees the ball where, you know, whether it's going to curve, kind of that kind of thing. The people that hit the home runs, they have a good eye. They see what's coming at them. Metaphor for life. Okay? And they realize, what are you going to do with that that's coming at? Okay? Am I going to be, am I just going to stand up here and take a strike and get three strikes and go sit on the bench? Or am I going to take that thing that's coming at me, whatever it is, situation, and knock it out of the park in the regard of handling it correctly, sanely, in a healthy way? And that's what this show is all about.
I think everybody who's walked has made a couple strikeouts here and there in life.
Absolutely.
And we can learn from those strikeouts.
Yes, we can. We can. Let's do it. Let's learn from them.
I think so.
You know, I want to start this discussion. Robin Givens said it's so important to get this dialogue going. And she said the social media is really good in that regard. You're on Facebook. And there's a lot of people that communicate a lot through Facebook and Twitter and et cetera. We didn't have that years ago. So, you know, people can reach out. In fact, soon we will have a Facebook page for this show, Go Yard, where people can contact you and personally, and eventually, even if they want a counseling session on down the road. But that's on coming down the road, because we've got a lot going on right now, starting the show and you with a lot of things that you're doing right now professionally.
Absolutely.
Get your hands in a lot of things.
Get my hands in a few fires. But I do want to make one comment before we wrap this up. And if you're living in the local Tampa Bay, St. Pete area, and you are experiencing domestic violence, there is help.
Yes.
There's legal help. You can contact 211. There's domestic violence shelters. There's a team of therapists and social workers and people who can come help you with resources. And
Amen.
You're not alone.
You're not alone. We want you to get help. Bobby, let's start that song that we started with. This is a song that we're going to use as our theme song for a while. New Lease on Life by the group Mercy Me. And you can just maybe turn it down just a little bit, Bobby. That's all right. And because, you know, in all of these things we're talking about, these are huge life crisis moments, okay? And it's down with the old. I love these words. Down with the old, in with the new. Okay, let's down with the old way of handling things and let's up with the new way of life. And this song says, new lease on life. It's time. New lease on life.
Yeah. Absolutely. And as long as we have breath, we have hope.
Amen. Exactly. So those of you out there that know somebody that's going through this, or maybe you yourself are, Angel is correct here. 211.
211.
Dial 211. Get some help. There are shelters. There are for abused women. There's all kinds of things. There's all kinds
free
of help.
Free legal
out there.
Help. There's counselors.
All right.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. We are going to continue this discussion next week because we haven't even begun to hit all
the
things we want to talk about. Dr. Angel Valsoni and PhD, licensed mental health counselor. If you wanted to call in, you can do it next week, Thursday at 6 o'clock. And we will be right here on this Tan Talk radio show. I'm Mama Mac. And with me, Dr. Falzoni, bringing the wisdom and the insight of her profession to these very difficult issues in people's life. Bobby, you've been great. It's been a great first show. We're excited to go next week. Just crank up that music, sir.
Let's do it.
Good night.
All right, let's do it. See you next week, gang.